also part of the meditation, Sanctified Bride of Christ. Who is the bride? And also how God sanctified the bride. And also bridegroom greatness, why he is great. And also bridegroom and bride marriage. And some of the checkpoints in our daily spiritual life. Some of the checkpoints that definitely that is useful for us. And summary and conclusion. Part of the bridegroom. So bridegroom, Greek word, it says nomphios and husband. Husband and I. This is the Greek names for the bridegroom. However, the Old Testament used the bridegroom figure to describe God. In Psalms 45 and Psalm 62:5, it says, "For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your bride rejoice over him." Whereas in the New Testament, Lord Jesus himself refers as bridegroom in Matthew 9:15. And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Jesus himself referring as bridegroom. And then also John the Baptist testifies about Jesus Christ. Whoever has bride, he is nothing but the bridegroom. John 3:29. Jesus is the bridegroom here, and John, since he is like Pilate, he is introducing and making the ways clear for Jesus, right? Our Lord Jesus. John is the bridegroom's friend here. And when John the Baptist spoke these words about the bridegroom, he may not be knowing about, maybe he may be thinking Israel in his mind, but church is here, it's a mystery. And later, right, Apostle Paul writings in his revelations, we see who is the bride. So it is unlikely it was not in his mind. However, Apostle Paul's revelations connecting the church being the bride of Christ, as per Ephesians 5:25, is a familiar portion. "Husbands, love your wives as just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." 26th verse, it says, "He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and the mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the Christ in the church. Most of the time, we read this passage connecting with husband and wife during the marriage time, but this is the great mystery which God is revealing to Apostle Paul, right, with respect to Christ and the church. And also in the 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, 2nd verse, it says, "I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." The analogy, if you take Jesus Christ, is drawing this analogy and saying, John 14th chapter, one recently, Brother Justin John, he read this passage, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The context here is Jesus, right? He's telling about his ascension. So that time, right, Peter and all, they asked different questions. That time Jesus, right, answered saying that, "Do not get troubled. Again, I'm going to come back and take back to the place." This is, if you draw the analogy from the scripture portion, this is about the Jewish marriage customs in the biblical times. Our Lord Jesus spent 2,000 years back. If you understand what is the meaning behind it, very well, we will now know what is the functionality and characteristics of bridegroom, and also about the bride here. Yeah? First major step as part of that analogy in the Jewish marriage traditions, betrothal. It involves the establishment of marriage covenant. And also bridegroom travels to bride's home, and pays the price. They call in Hebrew, mohar. First, the Corinthians, if we correlate this particular bullet point, the First Corinthians 6:19-20, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of Holy Spirit who is in you? Who? whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God has come down from heaven. He paid the heavy penalty, heavy price to purchase us. So this is the just correlation, how the analogy works out here. And then bride has declared to be consecrated or sanctified, set apart exclusively for her bridegroom. After the marriage covenant, right, bride was declared to be consecrated. And that means that she has to be set apart. Set apart means here some of the verses from Bible, Ephesians 5:25-27, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she should be holy and without blemish. And also from 1 Corinthians 1:2, who are sanctified in Christ. This is to the Corinthians church. Paul is writing to the church of God, who is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ. Jesus called to be saints, all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours, must be sanctified. And also from 1 Corinthians 6:11, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God. Hebrews 10:10, it says, by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 13:12, it says, Therefore, Jesus also, he might sanctify the people with his own blood. Jesus, our Lord Jesus, purchased us with his own blood. So now we can understand how precious we are. And then part of the Jewish marriage customs, on the second one, after the marriage covenant, what happens? No? Once the covenant has been established, the bridegroom, he would leave the home of the bride and return to his father's house. Similarly, if we correlate, our Lord Jesus Christ, he got ascended after purchasing the bride, after paying the penalty, after paying the price. He left the earth, the home of the church, and returned to his father's house in heaven after he had established the new covenant and risen from the dead, as per John 6:62-20:17. And also next one is in the process, right, Jewish marriage process. There, the bridegroom, he would remain separate from his bride for a period. So we should not exactly take how long it is and all. A lot of people, they calculate and tell it's 12 months and all. Just it's an analogy, just comparing. You should never take the accuracy or the quantity of the time here. He says for a short period, separation period. During the separation period, bride prepares for the married life. And the groom occupied himself with the preparation of living accommodations at his father's house, to which he could bring his bride. In John 4:4, that's what Jesus was telling Peter and all his disciples, that he's going back to prepare the mansions for the bride here. Christ has been preparing living accommodations for the church in his father's house in heaven during his separation from his bride. And at the end of the period of separation, the groom would come take his bride to live with him. Christ also, he will come to take the church to live with him at the end of the separation period from the church, John 14:3, that is. And although the bride was expecting her groom come back, but she never know the exact time. That is secret and the mystery. She has to prepare herself and wait for the bridegroom's coming. But once the bridegroom comes, he will give a shout. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, Lord himself, he comes down from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and then the trumpet of the God. That is the signal. So based on that, Christ's arrival, right, he comes back and take the bride of Christ. That will be preceded. He gives the signal, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. After the groom received his bride, there will be a great wedding party. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, John 14:2-3 says, Jewish brides return with the groom to his father's house after her departure from her home. The church will return with the Christ to his father's house in heaven after she is raptured or snatched from the earth to meet him in the air. This is the picture of Revelation 19:7-9. Let us rejoice and glad give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. 8th verse of 19th chapter, it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said to me, these are true words of God. So here you can see the great banquet and marriage feast here. So we will be rejoicing the bridegroom midair. So what we should remember here means bridegroom's greatness, unlike the worldly bridegrooms here. He first loved us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us without seeing our capabilities or background or what kind of persons we have, what kind of hearts we are having. He did not see that. He did not calculate such kind of things. But he loved us first. After that only, since he is loving, we started loving him. But we have to give that credit to God and to the bridegroom because of the great attribute. Our Lord's song in the Song of Solomon, it says, Solomon's song. That is nothing but Solomon, their bridegroom, and Shulamite, we know, she is bride. Our Lord's song to us primarily, he is writing the book of Song of Solomon. It's full of bridegroom and bride. If we understand that the intimacy between the bridegroom and bride, it's nothing but, it's similar like wife and husband. There is the same thing between our Lord Jesus and the church. So he is writing that song primarily to the bride. And also it is a song to us. And also it is not our song to him. It's song from him to us. And if you see the how dark we are here, Song of Solomon, first chapter 5, Shulamite says, I am dark, but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem. She is addressing to the daughters of Jerusalem, who are very prettier, smart, and maybe knowledgeable, and also city girls with the Jerusalem city. So, but herself, she is telling, I am dark, but still my bridegroom, right? He loved me. Though I am unattractive, yet my bridegroom had chosen. That is, nobody does. Normally, when we love somebody, like we see how they physically appear, whether they are looking beautifully or not, or whether they have any riches behind them or not. Our Lord Jesus, right, he did not see anything. How wretched we are, how condemned we are, how bad we are, he did not see that. But still, right, he loved us first. So that's why the greatness once again goes to bridegroom here. So here, I would like to read this passage from 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter 26 to 29. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you are wise in the world's eyes, are powerful, are wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. See how he is making use of the useless things and powerless things and not considerable things into a mighty way. That shows how powerful he is. And also by seeing that, right, definitely we give him the glory. As a result, no one can boast himself when they are in the presence of God, because everything by him only. It's not because of us, only because of the bridegroom's love towards us. And the second greatest part here is Jerusalem girls in the Song of Solomon, they are very much prettier women comparing with the Shulamite. But still, right, God chooses the Shulamite as bride there. God looks for qualities of heart and not for the appearance or gift or capabilities. No, we need not to work on ourselves, but God rightly looks at the heart. He sees how our heart to devotion and then he chooses us. God sees how precious we are and gives high value to us. He left the glory, heavenly glory, and also he himself made no reputation, taking the form of bond servant, coming in the likeness of man. We know all of this portion from Philippians 2nd chapter. Afterwards, humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of cross, to buy the purchase the. That is the love towards the bride. So that's why if we know that, how great he is, everything he left himself, right, he made himself no reputation of the bride's sake. He came down, he left the heavenly glory sign, came down to earth and purchased her. Checkpoints here, we all know, now we are in the real time, we are all waiting for the bridegroom. The story is not ended. The amazing love story is still continuing. We are waiting for the bridegroom. While we are waiting for the bridegroom to come back and take us back to his home, are we prepared to ready to receive the betrothed? Are our hearts full of his love and thoughts? I wanted to highlight from Genesis 24, when Abraham sent Eliezer, his servant, to Mesopotamia to get bride for Isaac. Last week we were meditating on, studying on Isaac. So he went to Mesopotamia to get Rebekah to Isaac. And then when he approached there, we all know that story. And then what happens, right? Rebekah comes with Eliezer. The distance between Mesopotamia to the place wherever Abraham lived, right, the Canaan. So there it takes minimum, according to that time, right, minimum 2 to 3 months. Just imagine what Rebekah must be thinking in her mind while traveling back to Abraham's place. Nobody was there, only her servants, maid servants was there, and then Eliezer, and then 10 camels, nothing else. She must be asking Eliezer about Isaac. Isaac is nothing but he's symbolizing that Jesus Christ. Eliezer here, Holy Spirit is symbolizing. So that's the way our God, even as a Holy Spirit God, he will be conveying and telling more things about our Lord Jesus, how he's coming. Rebekah's mind full of Isaac thoughts, love towards Isaac. He did not see her. Even we did not see him physically. We all know what happened 2000 years back, but we have never seen physically Jesus Christ. We see the pictures and all, but Holy Spirit God, he reveals all those things to us. Similarly, like Rebekah, how she was thinking about Isaac traveling back to that place, right? That gives us that rejoice and can definitely rejoice in him. Are our hearts full of his love like Rebekah? And how are our thoughts? So not only it's to me and also to us, ready for us. Please do not take it personally. And do we know his heart? When we love him, right, do we know his heart desires? Are we working or are we showing obedience to thinking his heart desires like King David, his man of God's own heart? This is all the sum of the checkpoint. However, I just want to give a summary and conclusion. Here it's nothing but we have to remember his love, how marvelous, how wonderful our bridegroom's love towards us, towards me. If we realize that, right, definitely we start worshiping him. We'll never forget about him in all our thoughts. In every moment that we'll be thinking about him. And also it's all about him, for bridegroom's love and his excellency, his majesty. And also it's about his unsacrificial love towards us. So that makes us to remembering him and innocent. Also, as a bride, we have the blessed hope from 1 John 3:2. We shall see the bridegroom one day. We do not know. We do not know that, but we get that shout. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, right? We are going to see him. Not only will every eye, naked eye will see him. We'll see him. But the beauty of us is we are whoever purchased, whoever sanctified by his blood, right? We are going to look like him. Though everybody is seeing everyone in the world, but we are going to be like him. That is our blessed hope, and also that is our high calling. And everyone who has this hope will be purified, like how he is pure and holy, have to purify ourselves with the help of our Lord. May God bless this world.